will it make for us if we listen to Jesus? We already said in our series on Hebrews that listening to Jesus was the most important thing we could do. Chapter 1 teaches us that He is the enthroned Son, that He is the eternal Son, and He got words for us so that we may hear Him. And that's important. He also taught us that everything is under His feet, under His control. And Renier taught us that Jesus is way greater than angels. So Jesus is the most important person in the universe with the most important message for our future. As we learn, it's the final word about the finished work for a future world. It's a final word about a finished work for a future world. And yet at the same time, we know all of that, knowing all this theology about Christ, we have to admit that it is not so easy always to listen or to pay attention to what Jesus wants to tell us. And that might be for many reasons, but mainly sometimes because we are not fully convinced that Jesus or the words that Jesus got for us will help us in the real life. We are not so sure that He can make a difference for us. Some world thinkers say we may make a difference by focusing on ourselves. We are the game changer factor. That key for life is deep in us, in ourselves, our potential, our way of thinking, on our way of overcoming life. It lies in ourselves. Napoleon Hill said, "It takes half your life before you discover life is a do-it-yourself project." That's what he said. It takes half your life before you discover life is a do-it-yourself project. It is not just a word, we have to admit. Unfortunately, it's also the so-called church. The church negotiates with the thoughts of this world, trying to fit, trying to be acceptable, and has adopted the truth of this world and left behind the word of God. That has happened many times in history. It will happen. The Christians the writer addresses have started well their Christian life, but after much persecution and even death, they began to wonder if all that suffering was worth it. They were tempted to return to the old forms of Judaism, to the temples, to a religion that was more accepted in the Roman world. Unlike Christianity, unlike Jesus, Jesus wasn't accepted, nor Christianity at that moment. They persecuted them, they executed them because of him. They were worrying and thinking, why not just give up? Why not adopt a more comfortable way of Christianity? We don't have to say certain things. We don't have to make declarations that will put our life in risk. Why must we die if we can avoid death and fit in society and be accepted? What difference can make Jesus for us. These Christians may say, we are suffering, we are exhausted, we grow weary of being persecuted and not accepted. We know we have to listen to this Jesus, but it's been so hard. What difference will it make for us if we listen to Jesus? Well, three things. Number one, it makes a difference for our future. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 to 18, so please look down with me at verses 5 to 8. It reads, "It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, 'What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet.'" The writer's argument finished speaking about angels in chapter 1. He said, chapter 1, verse 14, look at that, "Are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" So what he was saying is, angels are just servants, and the world doesn't belong to them, and is not subjected to them. Then the question is, who is it that the world was subjected to? And the primary answer to that question is you and me. I mean, human beings. The world was subjected to human beings. And verses 7 and 8 affirms that, and there are quotations, in fact, of Psalm 8, which is a reflection from King David, looking at creation and looking at the order that God made, and saying, well, this is human beings. He tells us that we are a little lower than the angels, but also that we are kings crowned with glory and honor, and beyond that, that God puts everything under our feet. So, what is a human being? That's such a great question. And the answer is, we are a race of kings. We are a race in charge of everything created in this world. We are due to rule over the whole creation. And I know what you are thinking. We actually don't see that. We actually don't see human beings like that. We don't see us doing a great job. And the author says the same. Verse 8. "Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them." We are supposed to be kings, but at the present time our rule is a mess. Instead of glory, we see destruction. Instead of honor, shame and dishonor. Instead of peace, disaster and war. Instead of justice, injustice. And the memories of our ruling are written, and we can find them very easily in the news. You can see them, war between different countries. In Argentina, a few weeks ago, 8 rugby players were judged because of the murdering of a guy after a party. They murdered him, they killed him, and they were condemned. 8-1. That was a great news in my country. Just think about that. What news have you seen this week? Or maybe we can go a bit into the past, during the COVID, and just suddenly seeing very odd news where animals were walking in the streets freely, without fear, or even the water in Venice, and those canals running clear during the lockdown. And we can go and go thinking human history and see all the disasters and all the things that were happening. And that's humanity. Kings without crowns. We have to rule either ourselves or the world rightly. And again, the question for ourselves, for us, a race of kings without crowns, is this: what difference will it make for us if we listen to Jesus? Well, it's important to listen because he came to change things, to make a difference. Verse 9, read with me. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus, the Son, came to put humanity back in its place and to fulfill God's purposes for humanity. All that was said about humans in Psalm 8 and quoted here in this passage, it is said now about Jesus. He is now the one crowned with glory and honor. And why is that so? Well, because he suffered death for everyone. Jesus, by giving his life and suffering death, now came to give us hope and recover this world's subjection. The world now is subjected to Jesus, the man, and that's our hope. And that makes the difference. We can look at humanity, society, the churches, and even the difficulties of our own life, and we may feel hasty of everything, weary of how things are going. And you may desperate and say, something has to change. Well, he makes the difference. He came to change everything. And he is changing everything in us and through us. But that's not the end. There is more to come. In Jesus, the man and king, everything will be subjected to him, and it will be a restoration. It's just a matter of time until we see it. The future of this world, if we look through the glasses of humans, through the glasses of our news, is a hopeless future. But if we see the future of this world through Jesus, it's a hopeful future. Jesus makes a difference in our way of looking at our future. He assures us that the world will be subjective to him. But the point of the author of the letter is not that Jesus will assure you a future, but also that he will share that with his family. Number two, Jesus makes a difference by calling us his family. Look up with me, verse 10. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I and the children God has given me. What is God doing? What is God's plan for humanity? And the answer is that Jesus may be the author of the salvation of many. And those many are their brothers and sisters, his family. God has called, says the text, many sons to glory, and that was what he pleased him. He has given brothers and sisters to them through Jesus, and he dies to save his brothers and sisters, and he allows us to be saved from our sins and now to be part of his family, having the same source, the same father. It's just like Moses returning to Egypt to free, set free his brothers, and then lead them out from slavery to freedom. How did he do it? By dying on the cross. But by suffering there. How is this important for us again? Well, through Jesus' death, humanity got a future that before was lost and now is recovered. But the great news here is that he is not ashamed for us. And it's funny, right? We all got families that ashamed us in a way or another, and we try to hide them as much as we can. And we're careful enough not to be seen with them in public. I got a classmate at school that was quite funny, a wonderful guy, excellent guy. I think he was the most intelligent guy in our class. I used to train for basketball team at very late at night. That's Argentinian times. You wouldn't understand. We have dinner at 10 p.m., so don't think of that much. So one day after training, I saw him having dinner in a very common and, let's say, not so high society place. And in Argentina, if you see someone, maybe from far away, you will try to make a gesture to greet him, to say hi. You will do it. Maybe here it won't work. You will be look a bit funny. But in Argentina, it's a good thing to do. So I tried to do that. I saw him, make my gesture of saying hi, and he ignored me. He ignored me completely. On another occasion, I saw him again. Not in the same place, in a very posh place, as you say, having dinner with his family. I didn't need to try to greet him. He did it and made me very clear that he was there. He was ashamed of that place before, but he was quite comfortable with that place now, or at that moment. And sometimes we are a bit like that. We like to be seen as very good Christians in the Christian context, in the Christian community. But what about in our works, in our schools, in the places where Christianity is not so popular? We get a little nervous when we need to confess Jesus. But hear this, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. He is not ashamed of us. Can you measure those words? Jesus called us his family. He made a place for us at his table. He adopted us, and he is not ashamed of us. So we don't have to worry about being accepted by this world. We don't have to worry about being accepted by our family, by our friends and society. There is a most important truth for us today. God has accepted us in Christ. And up to the point of calling us his family, his brothers and sisters. Isn't that game changing? For these Christians, you can lose your life, your honor, your popularity. But if you have Christ, you won't lose anything. You will never lose the name given to you by the sacrifice and the death and suffering of the Son of God. He joined us into his table. These are two great motivations to help us continue in the Christian life. We got a secure future. Christ assures us a future. But also, the King has assured us a place in his family, in the royal family. Number three, Jesus makes a difference by helping out his little brothers. Let's pick up from verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he did share in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. If there is a question in this bit of the passage, will be the next one. Why did Jesus come to the world? And the answer is fantastic and very simple. He came to help out humans, not angels. He came to help out his brothers and sisters. Jesus came to help his brothers and sisters eternally by defeating death and the power of death, so we are not enslaved anymore to the fear of death. He came to help us eternally, but also he came to help us constantly. Verse 17, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus became a man to save us eternally, but also to understand and help us. Sometimes we think just like that. This life is impossible. It's not easy to keep going. And we may feel many times in our life that nobody understands us. But Jesus, the the man knows how you feel. And he understands you, because he is able to help you, because he was made man, as you and me, to help out this race of human sinners. He became a human, a perfect one, and died in the cross to save us. He's not just a savior who offers us a life for the future, to have our minds in heaven, but he also offers us a life to have our hope in future, but our feet walking to him constantly. He is a man who understands suffering, the deepest suffering of all. And he can understand you and me. Why should this message make a difference to you? Well, let me say it in this way. Basically, because in this life, you are not alone. You are not alone. Your big brother takes care of you and me. And that's amazing. Because we can be shaken up by suffering in many ways. We can be fearful of society's standards, and that pushes back our faith. We can even be harmed by institutions, by churches, by people at church, by people outside of church. And still we can keep going. We still can hold out in the Christian life only because we are never alone. We have the help of our big brother, Jesus, and we can trust in him and hold fast to him. Are you tired? Are you weary? You are not alone. You are not alone. Our world offers us to focus on ourselves, to overcome life in a world where the church doesn't hold fast to the world. They offers us also a different option, feet. But we got this great hope. We are not alone. We got the help of our big brother. How can we get to the end of the Christian life? How can we overcome? How can we resist? We can. Not because this is a do-it-yourself project, but because we got the King of the Universe, the Eternal Son, a man who died on the cross and who was risen up to the heavens as our big brother who helped us. Let me just close with the following words of a hymn. It reads, "Come, weary saints, though tired and weak, hide away in the love of Jesus. Your strength will return by his quiet streams. Hide away in the love of Jesus. Come, wandering souls, and find your home. Hide away in the love of Jesus. He offers the rest that you yearn to know. Hide away in the love of Jesus. Hear him calling your name. See the depth of his love in the wounds of his grace. Hide away. Come, guilty ones, weighed down with sin. Hide away in the love of Jesus. The freedom you long for is found in him. Hide away in the love of Jesus. Hear him calling your name. See the depth of his love in the wounds of his grace. Hide away, hide away. Come, hopeless hearts, do not despair. Hide away in the love of Jesus. For 10,000 joys await you there. Hide away in the love of Jesus. What difference will make for us if we listen to Jesus?" What a big one. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for calling us your family, your brothers and sisters, and for the love of Jesus who died on the cross for us, who gave his life in our favor to call us home, to restore things. And thank you because in this Christian life, we are never alone. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.